Now that Brother John has taken it away from me, I was just going to invite all the Pioneer's workers to meet with me right after this meeting. But you'll have to meet with John now. It's his burden. The question is, how can we encourage men to be pioneer preachers? And I feel so scared and so weak, I just have to pray first. Our Father, we give thee thanks for the privilege of being here. Thou art our recourse and our resource. Thou art our sufficiency. We're not able of ourselves. We're weak. We're needy. We're unable. And we would just draw from thee and give thee our praise and thanks in advance. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How can we encourage men to be pioneer preachers? I hope to finish by or before 12 o'clock, and that would be almost a miracle, to allow plenty of time for discussion. But I've been with Jay long enough so that it does save me from embarrassment to stop on time. Brother John, you've begun to learn. The word how has to do with methods. And how to encourage is the method in a positive direction. It is not how to discourage, but how to encourage. A method in a positive direction. How can we encourage? And the we is either sectarian or it's organizational, or it simply speaks of mature Christian manhood, leadership, those who are concerned, and it does not have reference to sectarianism or organization or simply local consideration. The we I take here to be mature believers who are older, experienced, who have years behind them, elders, leaders, guides. How can we encourage? Pioneer has to do with new areas, new places, new needs and needy areas where an evangelical witness is not strong or weak or non-existent. And preachers has to do with men who proclaim the gospel, men who evangelize, men who are useful for God and in the hands of God for good and for blessing. So there we have the title kind of defined. Nations are divided into all kinds of governments, different types of governments and different ways of governing, and different organizational governing bodies. The religions of the world have various organizational methods and promotions and organizations, etc. Christianity is divided into many different groups, mainly Catholicism, Protestantism, and the cults. When you think of Protestantism, you have a division of all kinds of orders and organizations. When you have sectarian groups and denominational groups, as we know them, and churches, individual churches, have various ways of promoting and accomplishing this particular thing that we're talking about: how to encourage men to be pioneer preachers. Schools are raised up and various organizations are functioning to handle this and to promote this. This is not what I am trying to set before us this morning. I am trying to set before us the basic rootage of the problem as it's related to the Word of God. How shall we, who are not sectarian, not denominational, who are not a school body, who are not an organizational group, how shall we mature believers encourage men into new pioneer areas. What in the Word of God can guide us in this thing? This is the root problem. The first thing that I want to draw attention to, and I've divided my message here in 4 points, whether I cover all of them adequately or not. The 4 points are, first of all, prayer. And the second point is exhortation or teaching from the Scripture. And the third point is example or testimony of believers. And the fourth point is encouragement on a personal basis. So let's go first of all to point number one, prayer for men. And I want to read the Word of God in this regard from Matthew chapter 9. It's the only portion in the Gospels where we have this recorded. And it's in the setting of the ministry and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ revealing himself as the true servant of God and who is going around in the needy areas, villages, cities, places, preaching and teaching in synagogues and out of synagogues the gospel of the kingdom, and he's healing all kinds of sickness and disease. And in chapter 9, verse 36, we read, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they were faint and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. The harvest is big. The harvest is full. The harvest is great. But the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. And this is the basic content of the Scripture in the sending out of men into pioneer fields and ways and places for the gospel. Not only is this advanced by the Lord Jesus Christ initially, but it's supported also by a personal faith and persuasion in John chapter 20, the Gospel of John chapter 20, where we read in verse 21, after his resurrection, prior to his going back to heaven, he said to them, his apostles, his disciples, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. And then following immediately, we have the story of Thomas. Thomas the doubter, Thomas who was not sure. And the Lord said to Thomas, in verse 27, 8 days later, Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach here thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. And many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have light through his name. And following this, it may be said, these disciples went out as pioneer preachers proclaiming the gospel some few days later, after the Lord had been received up into glory and after the Holy Spirit had been given on the day of Pentecost. And then the third emphasis here in regard to the praying point in my message is that we have an illustration of assembly loyalty and activity in the early church in chapter 13 of the book of Acts. And in that book of Acts, chapter 13, we read, there were in the church, which is the great thing that the Lord inaugurated after Pentecost, at Pentecost and following Pentecost, there were in the church at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and the names are listed. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. And while they were doing that, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto which I have called them. The Lord did the calling, the Holy Spirit did the identifying, and he urged the disciples there in the church to let them go. And then we read in verse 3 of that chapter, when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they did not send them away, but they let them go. They released them. That's a different word from the word that we read in verse 2, for the work, it's a different word from the verse 4. So they being sent forth by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does the sending, and the church simply did the releasing. They released them. No church ever sent anybody apart from the Holy Spirit first, definitely indicating that they were sent. And so here we have the basic matter set before us, and as we view these verses and these things in the light of all the New Testament, we have really nothing more to offer than to see that there are illustrations of this elsewhere in the New Testament. There are a number of young people here, a number of young men here this morning, who probably feel, I would like to know whether the Lord is sending me. I would like to be one whom the Lord sends. This is your great privilege to ask and your great privilege to feel, and it's your great privilege to come before the Lord about this, and it's the Lord's prerogative to absolutely convince you that you are one of his called ones to go. And you need to identify yourself with the local assembly in such a way that they too see that you are one called by the Spirit, prepared by the Lord, able to go forth and sent by his Spirit, so that they can release you for the work unto which the Lord calls one. We don't, of course, have time to go into all this. Each one here who is concerned about this should be able to pray what the Apostle Paul prayed right at the beginning when he was converted. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Well do I recall when I was a young man, wondering about this vast thing, the work of the Lord. Well do I recall when for times I was deeply engaged with the Lord to find out what his will was for my life. 40 years ago, I attended the first workers' conference. Carl Pfaff was at that conference. And I don't know if anybody besides Carl Pfaff and I, who are now the older men here, Carl is almost 80, and I'm going on 70. Neither one of us are quite there yet. But 40 years ago, we were at that conference in Chicago. What a privilege to be with great men of God and good men of God who are now in glory. I don't think I have missed more than 6 or 7 of these conferences since. And it's been my great blessing and benefit to be here at these conferences, learning, thinking, growing, experiencing, feeling being concerned, praying, praising, listening to brethren like John Harper. I could tell John Harper a few lessons, but for example, he said when this professor told him about the nails in the tabernacle, I would have said, my dear sir, these nails in the tabernacle are clearly types of things that are very penetrable. And I would have let it go there. The third testimony, the third point is the testimony and example of believers. If we had time, we would be able to tell of some experiences of men who were called of God and how they were led into areas of service for the Lord in pioneering in the gospel and establishing testimonies for the Lord Jesus Christ. We could tell you some experiences over the life of 40 years, how God has led and how He showed me right from the beginning that it was not sectarianism. It was, as several have emphasized during this conference, that it was that great unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, that identification with the Lord's people who are related to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be it known to all that my background was not what I am today. I was born and raised in Christian Reformed circle. I should have gone to Calvin College and have become a divine in the great Christian Reformed emphasis of things. And there are no slouches at things. If you want to know how to send forth men into a work of denominationalism, follow their ways. They're doing it. They're successful at it. But they're not doing it in God's way. They're missing God's way. And I separated myself from that many, many years ago. And I'm thankful that I'm not Christian Reformed, and the Lord bless them, I love them. But I'm so thankful that I'm with all the people of the Lord, unsectarian, undenominational, one with Christ. And it's been our privilege to see a number of assemblies formed, started, and moving on and going very nicely. In North Dakota, in Iowa, in Minnesota, in Missouri, mainly those four states. We've encouraged many small groups in many other places, some whom probably would not be going today if we had not been under the guidance of the Lord, the proper help at the right time. And the Lord be blessed for that. Finally, the last point, and I close with that, the encouragement for personal activity. Those who are already engaged in pioneer work of the gospel, preaching the gospel and forming a New Testament assembly, should be encouraged with prayer, with gifts. There should be a willingness and a readiness to go there to help with teaching ministry and to fellowship together and encourage together in the ways of the Lord. We should do all we possibly can to encourage and to help in that particular area. Now, that very briefly sets forth what I prepared that could take me a few hours to relate, but we've stated these things simply and honestly and openly for the further consideration of all of us, and I'm ready for a bombardment of questions. I will not promise all the answers.
Does anyone else like to join Ben here?